I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dukes and Bell, and this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. We spent a lot of time over the last 3-4 days here talking about what could be and then ultimately what happened with Josh Donaldson. And Dave O'Brien, who covers Major League Baseball, covers our Braves, is kind enough to give us some minutes here because I know you've been
scrambling. What are the Braves going to do?
That's right.
What will we do? What will we do?
We've been scrambling, and I know
if
you
I knew,
have
I'd
been.
Write it.
He says if he knew, he'd write it.
Right.
All right, so let's start here first because this is what I've got a lot of over the last few days, Dave, and I'm sure you have too. The Braves were cheap. They didn't put a good offer on the table. Can you dispel that rumor?
I can't give you the exact offer because nobody has disclosed it yet. The agents are not saying what it is yet. I think they're going to wait till the press conference because Josh is playing in that golf tournament down in Florida. So that's why they haven't had a presser in Minnesota. So I think that's why they're not putting the offer out there or leaking it yet. So I haven't seen any of the offers except the one the Twins made. So we don't know what the Nationals. I heard the Nationals was $100 million for 4 years, but I'm sure if it was, then it was deferred because
right.
He would have taken the higher. I when it came down to it, I'm sure he took the most guaranteed money and without it being deferred. So, and the Twins makes a lot of sense to him with the AL having the DH. I mean, the NL might have the DH, but you don't know that. So, you know, you're taking a risk if you're the Braves. I thought they should have done it because I think he's that important to the team. But even I wouldn't say that there's not a big risk of him falling off in the last year or two of that contract. So that was just you were going to pay for the first couple of years and hope he could be a difference maker to help you win a World Series. So, but, you know, I've said before, the biggest thing, one of the main priorities of Alex is to not have dead money on the payroll going forward because once they got rid of Matt Kemp and a couple of other guys, mm-hmm. they wanted to kind of wash their hands of that and never do it again as far as getting extended beyond what they were comfortable with, and they didn't want to have dead money on their payroll going forward. And I think that's what it came down to with Josh. As much as they liked him, they were scared what would happen that third or fourth year, especially that fourth year.
And as Dave just said, if we're trying to win the World Series now, and you know, years 3 and 4 and 5 be damned. It is Dave O'Brien with his guys here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Read him in the Athletic, Dave. So we've talked a lot about Chris Bryant. If you get the 2 years, if the you know that deal with the Cubs goes south for the Cubbies, and then it's only 1 year. What about Arenado? Yeah. We've heard they want the moon and the stars. The Rockies do to move him.
I think Bryant is more realistic. I don't think Bryant's going to happen, but it could. I don't think there's any chance Arenado does, not to the Braves. The Rockies don't need to trade him. Everybody has really made too much of him saying this feels like a rebuild. Because I saw the Denver reporter today said that sentence came in about a 5 to 10 minute interview that they did with him, where he went on to say, you know, we've got a lot of young guys here and they're going to have to step up. You know, it feels like a rebuild. That's when you're going to have young guys have to step up. We've got those kind of players. In other words, it wasn't nearly as much as people are making it out to be. He went, this feels like a rebuild. And I didn't get involved for that. You know, it wasn't that. It wasn't one of those ultimatums. So, you know, I don't think that the Rockies feel compelled to move him, and certainly not without getting value for him. And getting value for one of the best players in the game means they're going to ask for a boatload of prospects, you know, and you got to consider how much stock do you put in his home and road stats? Because while his home stats are amazing, you know, at Coors Field, he hits, you know, the OPS is, you know, 1,000 or whatever it is. And on the road, it's considerably less. It's below 800. So you kind of have to win that. How much effect does that have being away from Coors? Is he, you know, getting adjusted to being away from Coors? How much is that a negative? I don't know. But I don't think it's going to happen because I think you're taking on a huge salary for 7 more years, I think it is, 7 or 8, and you're also giving up multiple prospects. And the Braves have to look at, they're going to have to re-sign Freddie here in a couple years, between a year and 2 years. He's under contract 2 more years. He's going to get over $25 million. You're already given, you know, you're already to pay Arenado, you'd be paying him, even if the Rockies pay some of it down, you're still going to be paying him, you know, $30 million, even if they pay some of it down. So then when Soroka comes up, Soroka, when you try to sign him long-term, you know, you got a lot of guys coming up that are, you know, you don't want to have 55 to 60 million tied up in Freddie and Arenado for the next 7 years. Even when you have Acuna and Ozzie playing for way below, you know, value for what they're worth. Acuna will be at 17 million before too long. So, you know, I just don't see it happening. I think Bryant's a lot more reasonable. It's 2 years. He's 17, 18 million this year, probably 24 million next year. It's still, you know, it's quite a bit, but, and he can, you know, you could stick him out in left field too if you wanted to play Austin Riley at third base eventually or whatever. So, I mean, I can see where that would work, and he's a cleanup presence. Obviously, there's no question to that. He would be a big presence in the lineup behind Freddie if he's healthy and stays healthy, Bryant, that is. But, you know, I wrote yesterday, I like Marte, Starling Marte of the Pirates. I think there's a real reasonable guy that the Pirates aren't the type. I mean, they're not going to demand nearly as much as Bryant. The last couple of years, he's actually had more war, if you're into that, than Bryant, because Bryant had an injury-plagued year in 18. And Marte's the kind of guy, can hit you 25 to 30 homers and steal 30 bags and, you know, hit for a high average. He hit 295 last year. 295, I think it was, and a 350 OBP. You know, it's a guy that can is making $12 million a year with an option in the second year. He's only under contract for one more year, so that's the kind of guy to me that seems like a Braves kind of pickup there.
Right.
With 1 year left on the deal and then an option, and he can play center field if you wanted to trade him to NCRT eventually.
That's a good call. It really is.
Yeah,
Dave.
I don't know. I don't know which way they're leaning. If he's really a strong consideration at all. I'm just saying that type of guy seems a more reasonable pick to me than, you know, because they are comfortable. I know if they need to go with Camargo and Austin Riley at third base, let them compete and the winner, you know, use them both or use one, you know, coming out of spring training. They will do that if they can add that bat elsewhere, that cleanup hitter. But they have to get a bat, whether it be at third base or the outfield.
Got to get one. It's Dave O'Brien. He covers our Braves and Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Let's shift gears. This mess, and it is a mess. Okay,
it is. I'm glad this team's not involved in it.
Oh, right on. I mean, you know what? And you've been covering ball a long time. And I both know your manager being gone weeks before spring training is terrible.
Yeah. It's people. I don't think. Understand just how big a deal that is, because I mean it could go, and if you don't hire the right guy to come in, and I think that's why these guys would be wise if they could get one of these veteran managers, that would be a lot better situation to come in and kind of corral this whole thing before it gets out of hand, because you got not just a room full of players, 25 players, 40-man roster, you got a room full of coaches, a lot of them former players, a lot of them are going to want to know, you know what the hell you're doing,
right?
And you don't want things to go sideways and one coach going, you know, I can manage this team better than this guy they just hired, some young guy. I don't think you can hire, this can be one of those, you know, I know the hip thing right now is to hire the young guy with no experience, you know,
right.
The David Ross at Chicago, that kind of, I don't think you can do that in this situation. I think you got to get a guy to come in and know exactly what he's doing, because he's only got 4 weeks to get everything in order before spring training. And to get everybody's confidence, you know, the coaches, the players, everybody.
It is Dave O'Brien, guys, breaking down the Bravos and talking about this. Now, real quick, because we get into this and guys are saying these guys are now suspended for a year. They get fired. Anthopoulos is doing a great job. But the guy who helped to build this was Coppolella. And Coppolella, obviously, his name is Mud. Just real quick, what did he do that got him got for life?
The life part of it came from not being honest with MLB when they brought him up to New York. And because he'd had a lot of other people, I don't think he realized that a lot of other people had already said what had actually happened.
Oh.
They knew. MLB knew what had happened. And for Coppy to sit there, you know, and from what I'm told, lie to them, that really chapped their asses. And that was why they were like, you know, maybe they would have given him a 2-year ban, you know, or like Luno, just suspended him for a year. Who knows? I don't think it would have been anywhere near what it was. You know, that was what did it, is that he just was never honest, and they gave him, I think, more than one opportunity to come clean, and he never would. I think Coppy was kind of thinking that if he covered up for, you know, some people in the organization and didn't, and kind of took the bullet, that they would have his back and it would work out for him in the end. I don't think he realized that MLB was going to give him a lifetime ban. I think he probably figured if they ban me for a year or two, the Braves will have my back and they'll bring me back in.
Mm. Of course, we're talking about the Astros cheating scandal, guys. The fallout, A.J. Hinch, Astros manager, done. Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, steps down. And then Carlos Beltran steps down as the Mets manager. That's kind of where the conversation is. So just to recap, it's Dave O'Brien, and he says if he knew, he would write it, because he has no idea where the Braves are going. Just like Mike and I, we are pondering a variety of ideas. But, guys, right now, everything's on the table.
Yeah, and Alex works, as you know by now, Alex is as covert an operator. He keeps stuff hush-hush better than any other general manager in baseball, really. I've never seen anything quite like it. Shurrell's used to be that way, but that was a different era.
Right.
To do it in this era of social media and with so many people calling him all the time nationally and everything, trying to get, you know, texted him, trying to get information, for him to be able to do it and to convince agents when he's dealing with agents, they kind of honor his approach to it, and they too are usually much more tight-lipped than they are when dealing with other teams. So that's the way he likes to do business, and you can't really argue with him. It works for him. I just don't think he feels the need to get his ego stroked. He doesn't mind people sitting there going, "What the hell's Alex doing?" Rather than sitting here thinking, "Oh, he's real busy," because a lot of GMs will leak everything because they want their fan base to think they're working their asses off, even if there's stuff that there really has no chance of getting done.
Right.
They want their fans to think they're in on everybody. So that's why you hear these, they're in on them, and none of it ever comes to fruition. But Alex, I don't think really cares what people say. He just wants, because he knows ultimately what's going to determine his fate and whether people, you know, approve of his job is if they win. So as long as they keep winning, you know, he doesn't really care. He's past the point of caring what people think about how he's doing his job on a day-to-day basis.
Hey, real quick, we got like 30 seconds left. So just real quick, Dave O'Brien from that Athletic. Would they trade Austin Riley for Chris Bryant, by the way? I know there's always untouchables, but who would be touchable?
Yeah, he would. He's not untouchable. And if, you know, it might take that. You know, I don't know. I think the Cubs would probably rather have young pitching like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
But they would trade him in a trade for a third baseman. And that's, there's some risk there because, well, we saw what Austin Riley did the first 6 weeks. It wasn't 1 week. You know, it was 6 weeks of him absolutely being on fire. And it was like Eric O'Flaherty told me, if I was pitching him, I wouldn't have known how to pitch him because he was hitting everything. So we know it's there. It's whether he can make adjustments. But the talent is, there's no question about the talent. So you're risking trading a guy that could hit legitimately 25 to 35 homers a year for 10 years. Now, will he? I don't know. But we saw it. I mean, we saw it for 6 weeks. So, you know.
It's a good point.
That's why they're not eager to trade him.
Yeah, it's a good point. Dave O'Brien, in honor of your tweet today, I didn't know you were an Ohio Players fan.
Oh, yeah.
Dave's musical knowledge and his taste is impeccable. If you're always looking to pick up something, Dave knows what's going down.
Come on, man. My respect level went up another notch for you, Dave O'Brien. Hey, man, appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you later.
Yeah, man.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.